The opinions expressed by the interviewees on the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show or any employee thereof. Upfront and the Prophetic radio show is not responsible for the accuracy of any of the information supplied by the interviewee.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities, which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire.
Incredible.
Welcome everyone to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. That's POPPM.org. We're your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, and we're coming to you live from Pennsylvania, as we do every week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are so delighted that you've joined us this evening. I tell you, you know what? It's time to expose Jezebel. Isn't it? I believe so. You know, so many believers are familiar with the Jezebel spirit, the control and the dominance of that spirit, but so many, too, are unfamiliar with her age-old partner, the Ahab spirit. Now, in order for Jezebel to have control, she needs someone to control, doesn't she? And as a result, the Ahab spirit robs believers of their rightful authority. And we're going to talk about that tonight, because with us tonight, we have Steve Sampson. He's come up with this awesome book that every believer needs to have, every pastor. This is a must. The book is called Discerning and Defeating the Ahab Spirit, the Key to Breaking Jezebel, or Breaking Free from Jezebel, and I guess Breaking Jezebel, too. We'll go for that. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Steve Sampson. He is used by God, definitely, in a prophetic and teaching ministry that began over 30 years ago, and his heart is to bring the miraculous and the power of God into today's modern world. He travels extensively and is a proven prophetic voice to the church. The emphasis of his teaching ministry is to build faith and expectation, helping people to receive from the Holy Spirit, which God has promised to each individual. I tell you, you're going to be delighted tonight to get this information. And I tell you, if you know anyone that has an Ahab spirit, please call them now and get them on the line. I believe this broadcast will be such a benefit for them. Well, now we want to introduce to you a man of God that we so love and appreciate with all that he's doing in the kingdom of God, Steve Sampson. Welcome to the show.
It is a great pleasure to be with you, and I'm so excited to talk about this subject. I really am.
Well, we are too, because it's so needed. Like we said in the intro, so many people do know about the Jezebel spirit, but you don't hear about the Ahab spirit, do we, Steve?
That's right. Jezebel's kind of a namesake of control freaks, but Ahab now is the namesake of those who have a tendency to relinquish their God-given power and authority. The main way I would describe an Ahab is those who give their power away. And Ahab was considered by God, according to 1 Kings 16, that he did more to provoke the Lord of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel before before him. That first Kings 16 says that it came to pass that as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And he took his wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So the Ahab was he was evil in the sense that he didn't take his rightful place, gave his authority away to his wife.
That's so true. And you know, I want you to talk about first off how and why. What inspired you to write this book, Discerning and Defeating the Ahab Spirit?
Well, I love to say it this way. I feel like I was the poster child for Ahab. You know, Ahab personalities. Both Ahabs and Jezebels are insecure. And by the way, say it up front that there's really no gender. There's plenty of, you know, women get accused of being Jezebels, but there's plenty of male Jezebels. And there's plenty of male and female, no gender with Ahab also. But I grew up that way. The Ahab personality, you're wanting to please people. You don't want, you don't want to offend people. You're because of the insecurity, you want to gain acceptance. And so you're always trying to make everyone else happy, in order to gain favor, to gain acceptance. A lot of times it's rooted in insecurity and inferiority and unworthiness and so forth. And so I, growing up that way, and my mother was kind of she was very passive, and I think that was kind of my role model. And, you know, don't ever say anything, don't rock the boat, ignore it, walk away. And being an Ahab, you know, what you do is you stuff feelings inside. When you're insulted or when somebody says something ugly, instead of being assertive and, you know, standing up for yourself, there's a tendency to just stuff it inside. And that's the thing Ahab do. They don't stand up for themselves. And I might add here, that's probably the real reason I wrote it, because, of course, I'd had so many experiences with Jezebels in so many areas, but I just saw the need. There's a lot more Ahabs out there than Jezebels. They do seem to find each other. Many times they end up in a relationship together because every Jezebel is looking for an Ahab, and every Ahab is looking for someone to, you know, give him, you know, significance or something.
Sure.
So it is
It
is real. Yeah, it's a real issue. And, you know, the Ahab spirit is it kind of goes back to people who just, they need to repent of giving away their power, giving away their authority, and to, you know, to be assertive. I like to put it this way. Jezebels they're more aggressive. They love to take your power, where Ahabs are more willing to give their power. So Jezebels are aggressive, then Ahabs are passive, very passive. They're peace keepers and not peacemakers. They're the ones that will sweep it under the rug. They're the ones that will say, you know, that person insulted me, but maybe it is my fault. Maybe I am a failure. Maybe there is something wrong with me, and they'll never take the initiative. And the key word here, you know, we talk about aggressive or passive, but the key word is assertive. Jesus always spoke assertively. He showed great respect to people, but he never, you know, he was never aggressive or passive, either one. So he is our example. So to get rid of the Ahab spirit, the first thing you have to repent of giving your power away, and then, you know, learn to be assertive and to stand up for yourself and to not roll over and play dead, that kind of thing, but to express yourself and respect
yourself.
That's
so true, because a lot of times the Ahab spirit, as you were bringing up the characteristics, I mean, that they have that doormat mentality, don't they?
They do. Like, I deserve it, and they have a, you know, real need. They're really, and people listening need to hear this, because they constantly suppress their feelings, their real true emotions. That usually attracted to Jezebel because they're looking for someone to balance themselves. Unconsciously, subconsciously, they're looking for someone to balance themselves. So So there needs to be repentance and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the root of that type of lifestyle, because it is it really is rooted in a fear of man, a fear of rejection, a lot of self-abasement behavior. And it's amazing how these kind of people end up together, because they do find each other. Jezebel's looking for somebody to put down and to walk on, and, you know, Jezebels are very opinionated. Jezebels are never wrong. When you're dealing with a Jezebel personality, and people listening would recognize this, that they never admit they're wrong. A true Jezebel, if you're dealing with one, will never apologize, will never say, this was my fault, I'm the one that caused this. They will usually say, if they ever apologize, it's, I'm sorry you misunderstood me, or I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt, or I'm sorry your face got in front of my fist, kind of thing. but it's never, this is my fault, I've caused this. You will never see a true Jezebel ever admit wrong, because they can't stand to be wrong. They're so insecure that way that they cannot take responsibility that way.
Right. That's true too. And like you said, I'm sure that we've met plenty of them. And it seems like, you know, the Jezebel spirit is attached more so to the prophetic. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, Jezebels are looking for power, and the Jezebel spirit, you know, she, you know, wanted to kill Elijah. And then in the New Testament, when Herodias, you know, that little girl, that teenage girl danced before the king, you know, she asked her mother-in-law, who had been rebuked by the prophet, you know, what do you want? She said, well, I want the head of John the Baptist. So they very much hate the prophetic. They don't want a voice that says this is the mind of God, because they have their own opinion. Their opinion is their idol, and, you know, God help anybody that gets in their way. But they don't want the prophet, and that's why in both the Old and the New Testament, the head is cut off, and it's a vendetta against anything that's prophetic. However, on the other hand, they're very religious people. I know I pastor the Church of Jezebel, volunteer for everything, but their motive is for power and control. So they very much would love to be in the prophetic realm, because they feel a sense of power. Look at me, and it's always a grasp for some kind of power. And that's why humility, not false humility, but true humility, is so important. Ahab's, on the other hand, you know, because they want to be accepted, they're willing to become a doormat. They're willing to say, I was the one at fault. They forgive too easily. Like, you know, you did this to me, and, you know, you hurt me, but it's okay. Don't worry about it, you know, just because they want to accept it so bad. Women, many times women are in abusive relationships, and verbally abused or physically abused, and they just it's easier to become an Ahab. It's easier just to look the other way, or thinking, well, he probably didn't mean it, or that kind of thing, and to just really, to me, displease God by not standing up and saying, you're not going to talk to me this way anymore, ever. You know, this is not going to happen. And where that's that typical Ahab thing, to just say, well, just overlook it and kind of bury your head in the sand and go on. And so it really sabotages relationships and so forth, until that person gets to the place of saying, this isn't going to happen anymore. I respect myself. I believe I'm made in God's image. I believe I'm significant in God's eyes. I believe I have much value. And I'm not a doormat, and I'm not a punching bag, and so forth.
Well, you know, you mentioned a lot of key things here. And first off, you said that your mother was and had primarily an Ahab spirit. Now, did your father have a Jezebel spirit?
Well, I didn't see it growing up, but looking back, I do. They're both deceased now, but my father was I could see he was very opinionated and just kind of a workaholic. And, you know, my mother, looking back, she just totally gave up trying to say anything, and so she would just be very silent. And, you know, it was a Christian home, but it, you know, there was, she would never assert herself. And it, I remember a few times she would lose it and just really, you know, go off on him. But in general, she just kept her mouth shut and thinking, you know, and it seems so spiritual, you know, look at me, you know. Ahabs are always, a lot of times, they're the ones wearing the white hat. Look at all that I put up with. Look at all the abuse I put up with. I must be some spiritual giant because I never say anything. Well, that's not pleasing to God because you're giving up your self-respect and your self-worth and so forth. But
that's
I remember many times my mother saying, you know, when somebody does something, that don't say anything, don't respond, just ignore it, you know, go your way, you know. And it sounds so spiritual, but the problem is, and I say this emphatically to people listening, those feelings don't disappear. When you stuff those feelings, they're going inside you, and they're going to come out another way. You're either going to get physically sick, or you're going to develop amazing rage. In other words, passive people, Ahabs, become passive aggressive, and really begin to, you know, it's almost that thing, I don't get mad, I get even, you know. And
right.
Because you're never allowed, you never express yourself, you never. Why, Jezebels express themselves all the time. They ventilate, cut your head off, leave you bleeding, and then, you know, oh, sorry about that, you know. And, you know, you're still bleeding.
That's so true.
You're trying to find a needle and thread to sew your head back on, you know, and they're, you know, they act like nothing's happened because they feel free to ventilate, you know. And they never forgive.
Right.
Jezebels never forgive because they want to hold your offense for future ammunition. So Jezebels never feel like, you know, I have to forgive. And that, the Bible doesn't apply to them. They don't, because, you know, Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive yours. But they always put themselves in this separate category. Well, I'm an exception to the rule, you know.
Sure, sure. Now, you said, too, that you were raised in a Christian home. I mean, when did you know? I'm kind of backtracking a little bit because I know that there are a lot of people listening tonight that maybe have not been familiar with your testimony and your story. How did you come to know the Lord as your Savior? And then how did you get into ministry?
Well, what happened, I grew up in a real strict Baptist church in Nebraska, and I think they were so strict. In fact, they didn't like Billy Graham, and later on they didn't like Brahma. No, they didn't. They were, that's how strict they were. I mean, it's just very negative, and you know, there you didn't see much joy or anything. I mean, they were good people, but you know, just that, you know, the Bible says the narrow gate. It doesn't say the narrow-minded way, you know. But I grew up in that, and, you know, I never heard the Holy Spirit mentioned except that water baptisms, that kind of thing. But my testimony is really amazing because I was 18, just out of high school, having growing up in the Baptist church, and a very, very close friend of mine, just a few weeks out of high school, drowned, and it was a very tragic accident. And at his funeral service, the pastor was a Christian Missionary Alliance pastor, but he was a spirit-filled man. I don't think a lot of people knew it, but when he preached my friend's funeral, he had a tremendous anointing. I mean, I can still, to this day, feel that love of God, that sweetness of the Holy Spirit, and I never, ever experienced that. There was a sweetness and acceptance that was coming through his voice, and it just made me hungry, and it really provoked me. And as soon as I was hungry, you know, it's amazing what hunger does, because as soon as I was hungry, the Lord led me to people who were Spirit-filled. I didn't know anything about people baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I went to Kansas City to visit my sister and her husband, and they'd just been exposed to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it's just amazing. And I, through the years, hunger is the greatest thing we have. As soon as you're hungry, really hungry, not interested, not curious, but when you're hungry, God will make sure somebody comes across your path because he loves the hunger. And so that I got around spirit-filled people, and just God just fed that hunger. And then ultimately, you know, I had a terrible self-worth because of my upbringing, you know, that all that inferiority and everything. But the Holy Spirit, right away, you know, he began to work on me and so forth. And then it seemed like, I spent a few years, out of college and working in the business world, and then very unusual story, but God put me in the relationship with a Franciscan Catholic priest. And he and I traveled full-time for 3 years, and we just saw multitudes of Catholics filled with the Holy Spirit. And then little by little, and eventually I pastored a church, and more God let me see. I just kept running into Jezebel personalities, and there's something that is so illegitimate about the way they work through intimidation, manipulation, and domination, but they're so pushy and always trying to, position themselves to look good and so forth. So it just seemed like running into Jezebels over and over again. And then the Lord let me begin to discover the Ahab part of it, because Jezebels only have power where Ahab's given the power. So it's a very interesting
story. It really is interesting. And, you mentioned that you were the poster child as being having the spirit of Ahab and being passive and so forth. When did you realize that, whoa, there is something not right here, and how did you address it in your life?
Well, I was in situations where I would be insulted and walked on, especially by people very close to me. And frankly, I just got sick of being, again, that Ahab personality and that spirit, and it is a spirit. But I just got tired of, and I think the Lord was orchestrating this, but I got so tired of always having to be the one that I admit I'm wrong, And I would even when somebody would have this disagreement with me, I've tried to get it reconciled, and so I would admit I'm wrong, even though I couldn't think what I'd done wrong. And then when I'd go to a person and say, listen, I just want to apologize, and I'm expecting the other person to say, well, I'm sorry too. I'm expecting that. But when you're dealing with Jezebel, they never say, I'm sorry too, because that's what you expect. Well, we'll reconcile. Well, listen, we were both wrong, and let's make up here. It was like, well, you should be. Or, it's amazing how, because that the Jezebels are so afraid of admitting any wrong. Well, you should be, and don't let it happen again, or that kind of thing. And I just got sick of it because, you're just always insulted and then thinking, well, later on you think, man, I should have said this or I should have said that. And frankly, there's a lot of people in marriages that I always say, the man will, a lot of times will be in a marriage, he's very miserable, but he'll be in it for sex, and the woman's very miserable, and she'll be in it for security. And they sell out their self-worth, and I could talk about many men who, I've just run into them over and over again and say, I can tell you the day I gave away my power and authority because of fear of, fear of losing intimacy or, the fear of dealing with it. And a lot of the typical, here's a typical attribute of an Ahab is to leave the room or to walk away. And frankly, men, I think there's more men Ahab than women. Men have an attitude, well, I've worked all day, I work hard, I don't feel like dealing with this. I don't feel like, reading the Bible to the children. I don't feel like leading in prayer. I just want to relax, And they'll just abdicate their power totally. And a lot of women who are accused of being Jezebels don't really want it. They don't want that authority. But many times they're forced into making all the decisions because the man is an Ahab and he doesn't want to deal with things. He doesn't want to take the lead, And that's not always the case, but many times, she's forced into, having to take the lead and make decisions that she really doesn't feel called to make, and she feels like it's her husband's place, but he won't stand up to the plate. Another thing I'd like to mention is here's the way the Holy Spirit showed it to me, and I hope this will help people listening, that, again, Ahab and Jezebel, there's no gender. They can be either male or female. But a Jezebel, for example, functions more like a woman, for example. She will, because she's been abused and she's been hurt by male figures, a lot of times she's so angry that she'll begin to get her way by manipulation. And where God's given a woman such an amazing gift of intuitiveness and sensitivity, and just like a gift of emotions, there's no one that can comfort like a woman, that gift of emotions and intuitiveness, she'll take that God-given gift and use it to become manipulative and controlling. Where a man, he has a God-given gift of taking the lead, and he'll use that God-given gift of leadership to use it as power and intimidation and to fear, like just rule by fear. Instead of leading a family and giving protection to a family, he's a major abuser, and you don't know when he's going to swing at you or verbally, abuse you. So whether Jezebel operates through a male or female, they do operate differently, but it's the same evil spirit. People say a lot of times, if it's an evil spirit, then cast it out. Well, it isn't, the devil's definitely involved, but it's more the person has opened a door to a lifestyle, a training, something that's been modeled, and you can't cast out a personality. It's part of their makeup, whether it's Jezebel or Ahab, there has to be a repentance. I'm going to repent of this lifestyle. I'm going to repent of being domineering. I'm going to repent of being, a doormat. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to put light on this and deliver me.
So they need to be willing to look at themselves and say, "Gosh, you know what? I'm reading this book. I'm seeing these traits of the Ahab spirit of being passive and, turning away from, conflict. I don't want to get involved. Or on the opposite end of, I'm very controlling and demanding, and I'm always saying that I'm never wrong. I need to really come to a place and Holy Spirit, help me. At first off, I repent, and then help me to just deal with this head on."
Right, and the word, I think the key word is to confront. And Ahabs do not like to confront issues. They don't like to confront people. Ahabs are known to be peace keepers, not peacemakers. It's easy to not deal with it. It's easier just to sweep it under the rug, walk away, pretend it didn't happen. And, of course, that's a miserable existence. And a Jezebel needs to be brutally honest and say, "I need to quit controlling. I need to give up my opinion as an idol," that extreme insecurity, a fear of being wrong, and, many times it's a spoiled brat in an adult body, I will have my way. My way is going to be done no matter what. And they don't care how much carnies there is, they're going to have their way. So it has to be a real, genuine repentance. And I will say, I think everybody has some Jezebel in them, and everybody has some Ahab in them. That doesn't mean everybody has a little bit of that. For example, if you've ever given somebody the silent treatment, that's a controlling, that can either be Ahab or Jezebel. You've hurt me, so I'm not going to talk to you, and that's a lot of fun to have somebody give you the silent treatment.
Right?
That could be either Jezebel or Ahab, but everybody has a little bit of that, because we learn little ways to, inflict pain on other people. But a bona fide Jezebel never admits wrong, takes credit for everything, takes blame for nothing. A genuine Ahab will give away his power, will do anything to get acceptance, will do anything to get someone to approve of them. They're both wrong. But Ahab's, it looks more spiritual because, they're so nice. Nice people trying to be agreeable and give away their power. I've run into situations so often where, people like an Ahab just won't deal with things. Lady just recently, I know, just her husband just done some terrible deeds, and she just, I don't want to lose my home, and I don't want to do this, so just ignore it, and it's just so sad, to not stand up and you know, a peacekeeper says, you know, we're going to have some peace here, but it's going to be bloody. It might be a little messy, but in the end, we're going to have peace. And a peacekeeper just never will deal with it, ever. I mean, they'll go through their whole lives never dealing with it and end up bitter and defeated and discouraged and all of the above.
Wow. You know, that's some really good stuff, Steve, because, you know, I mean, it's called Upfront in the Prophetic, and I'm going to be upfront even with myself. I mean, I saw a lot of characteristics of the Ahab spirit and how I was passive and, you know, just throwing stuff under the rug and, oh, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And then I started to feel like that bitterness a little bit, saying, gosh, you know, this isn't, you know, I don't feel right about this. And, you know, but then I kept it inside until, you know, I received the Holy Ghost. And I mean, and I started to just really hunger for the righteousness of the Lord. And he showed me, he started revealing to me, you know, you need to stand up in love and boldness, you know, and I had to learn that balance. Did you have to learn that balance too of, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, because you can almost walk into that anger part that you anger at yourself because you allowed people to do that to you.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I did have to learn that in the process. But, you know, a lot of times people say, well, if I stand up, I don't want to be mean. You don't have to be mean. You just, you know, here's a good assertive statement. The tone of your voice sounds like you're upset with me. Is there something you'd like to talk about? You know, that's a good assertive statement. You know, or I love you, but I refuse to let you talk to me that way. Something I wrote in the book, I wrote, passive people have become that way by giving up their identity. They will do almost anything to avoid displeasure or disapproval. They also feel an intense need for approval, acceptance, and appreciation. The bottom line is they desperately want to be liked, and they literally, often subconsciously, will give up every part of their identity and individuality just to make sure people will like them. Then when withdrawal then becomes a comfortable habit. And passive people usually, they withdraw from conflict by walking away, leaving the room, or even taking on a time-consuming project. A lot of times a man will just, he'll just throw himself into a project rather than deal with something. Or become a workaholic in something, you know, anything to not have to deal with. Or they might turn to drugs or alcohol and so forth. But yes,
sure.
I had to, you know, I would let people, I don't know about you, but I would let people just insult me or just, you know, call me, you know, just make innuendos and, you know, just walk away thinking, well, they probably didn't mean it or whatever. But now, I would confront them and I would say, now listen, I heard you say that. What did you mean by that? And, you know, and just, you know, you don't have to be ugly. You just have to say, these are my feelings. Like, you know, yesterday we were with a group of people, and I'm not being judgmental, but I'm just saying your words really hurt me. And I, you don't have to, you never say you, but you just have to say, I'm really in pain. And you're letting the person know that they cause you pain. You're not accusing them. You're just saying, you're not saying you, you're saying I. I am in pain, and I'm very miserable right now because of the words you said that really were very embarrassing or something like that. And it makes you feel so good.
It's such freedom, isn't it? It is, just like you said.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you're respecting yourself, and you're, you know, we have a God, we're made in God's image, and we have a God-given identity, and to let to become a doormat or to disrespect yourself is certainly not pleasing to God. Even though it's sometimes the easiest way out. It seems easy,
yeah,
but
sure.
It has bad ramifications. But Jezebels
exactly.
Are funny, too, because they'll always twist it to be your fault. If you ever confront a Jezebel, they'll twist it around. You're the Jezebel, or you're the one that made me do it. I did rob the bank, but it's because you didn't give me enough money. You know, it's always... It's amazing how true Jezebels will never, they'll never come clean. It'll always be twisted around. And they'll twist something, just one little thing you said, and they'll twist it around to make it your fault. And they want you to accept it as your fault and, you know, to lay down and be an Ahab and pass you.
Exactly, exactly. You know what's so weird, too, is that the Ahab spirit, I mean, like you said in the book, the Jezebel is attracted to the Ahab because they know that they control him. And then, of course, the Ahab, you know, is attracted to the Jezebel because mm-hmm. of their aggressiveness and so forth, you know. And it's just, I so can see it as plain as day. And, you know, I mean, it's just like, oh, you know, Jezebel alert, you know, I know they're coming. And, you
right.
know, and let me ask you this, how did David, or how can we learn from what King David did and how he protected himself from that, you know, from the passive spirit?
Well, David was, you know, that the man truly, truly loved God. And, you know, even God said to him, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. It didn't even say a man that, you know, is very righteous or knows the word. He just said he's a man after his heart. And so he was a real worshiper, and he was obviously very honest. You know, when he sinned with Bathsheba, which I call the first pornography, he didn't blame Bathsheba or her husband. He said, Lord, against you and only you have I sinned. So there was a real transparency in the man. He was, you know, he was quick to repent. And when Nathan confronted him, you know, you're the man, he quickly repented. And yet he was a man who wanted God's heart. And when his wife, who I think was a Jezebel, you know, mocked him for dancing in front of him, he said, you know, woman, I'm a worshiper of God, and I'm going to get more undignified than this, you know. So there was a pureness of motive in him. I always say, you know, the Old Testament deals with action, but the New Testament deals with motive. And, you know, the Old Testament says, don't kill anybody, but the New Testament says, don't even have hate in your heart or you're guilty of murder. So the new covenant's harder. I always say the Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible because you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so David was, you know, to me, a perfect example of he had a lot of faults and made a lot of mistakes, but he was quick to repent. Saul, on the other hand, when you think of Saul, and, you know, he did everything right outwardly, but his motives were so wrong. And then he deceived himself by saying, you know, I've done everything you told me. I've sacrificed to the Lord. And then when Samuel confronted him, you know, what is this? Why didn't you do exactly what God said, you know? And he was a true people pleaser, you know, and I don't know, Ahab or Jezebel, mm-hmm. but he was certainly not willing to please the Lord, you know.
Sure, sure. Well, would you say that it's harder for someone who has that characteristic of a Jezebel spirit to change, to repent?
Yeah. Very,
is it harder than
so.
An Ahab spirit?
Yes, I believe it is. In fact, I have to say, honestly, I cannot think of a time when I've seen a true Jezebel change. That's why as Ahabs, and where we have to repent of being passive and Ahab-like and to confront, all you can do is draw the line and, you know, just refuse to let Jezebel walk on you, take your authority, insult you, demean you, and so forth. And just, you know, you almost have to say, I love you, but you're not going to do this to me anymore. You're not, you know, there's something in you that has to rise up in God's righteousness and say, I respect myself, I love myself, and you're not going to treat me this way anymore. But I truly, Jezebels are so deeply wounded people. They're more like, it all comes out of insecurity or terrible woundedness. I've been hurt before, and I'm never going to be hurt again. That's what they say. And many times they have, you know, they have walls built around them, you know, and they become very defensive, you know. Have you seen my keys? I didn't take them, you know. It's just like a tremendous defensiveness. And they're so fragile, they cannot be wrong. So they'll attack you before you attack them, you know, before you confront them. So the Ahab one holds the power to say, I'm not going to let this happen to me anymore. But again, true Jezebels, I've not seen one, and I'm not saying it can't happen, but I've not seen one, you know, really repent. They just seem like they can't go there.
Right. Wow.
I wish I
could. So basically, huh?
I say, I wish I didn't have to say that, but that's been my experience. That they've never, I've never
yeah.
seen one really truly repent. But I can say, you know, we have the ability as former Ahabs to say, I'm drawing the line. You're not going to treat me this way. You're not going to do this to me anymore. And you're not going to destroy the church. And you're not going to do this. Because it's amazing about Jezebel personalities. Many times they will love you, like you've never been loved, unless you cross them. And if you ever cross them, look out. Because they'll go from loving you and thinking you're the most wonderful person to, I'm going to destroy you. I am going to destroy you. And because you crossed their opinion, you crossed their will, you violated them, and they'll turn that love, which you thought was love, into the destruction. I'm going to tear you down. I'm going to tear this church apart. I'm going to tear your ministry apart. You know, and I saw it on a woman's sweatshirt one time. I think it's hilarious, but if you find something, someone you love, release it and let it go. If it comes back to you, fine. If it doesn't, hunt it down and kill it. You know, it's that, that's kind of the attitude. You know,
oh,
if I can't have my way, I'm going to destroy everything in my sight. You know.
Right. I mean, they have, I mean, have you noticed that there's such a religious spirit that's attached to that as well?
They love to be religious, and they act very religious, and they'll quote scripture, and they'll, you know, the story, I love the story of, in 1 Kings 19, of when Jezebel, you know, when her husband was pouting and he was passive and he couldn't get the property he wanted next door to his mansion, Naboth wouldn't sell it to him because it was in his family, and so he was sulking and pouting and being a total Ahab and lying in bed, and his wife said, what's wrong? And, well, I want this piece of land. So she went out and had him killed in a very religious way. You know, you've got, you know, she had the man killed and had scoundrels raised up to lie against him. And then said, see what you have. You know, she got very religious and took his kingly authority and so forth. And I think they always act religious, you know, being, you know, looking spiritual. And that's what, you know, I love the gift of prophecy and I love the way it flows, but I do not like, you know, I believe we're supposed to be just totally humble and just give what God gives us. And, you know, you can sense when somebody is just trying to speak something to get their will accomplished, you know. But I believe that, you know, they'll be religious any way they can, volunteer for anything. But, again, Jezebel, they're always looking for something to build, to make them look good. It's all about image. They love to be surface people. They love to talk about surface things and, you know, look what I own. Look how I look. It's all about their image, you know. Doesn't matter if you're facing truth or walking in truth. It's more about how it looks to everybody else, you know. I want to have the best this. I want to have the best that. And so I look good. And that's all about. It's to cover that deep, deep insecurity, you know.
Steve, would you say that, those who have a Jezebel spirit are very, I just see a lot of similarities between them and a Pharisee spirit.
Yeah, a Pharisee, yeah. One of my favorite statements was this, that a religious spirit honors what God did but resists what he's doing. And so a Pharisee is hypocritical, you know. I oppose it. One who, you know, you wears all the right things, says all the right things, but is not living it, you know. It's all for appearance sake, all for looks, you know. And, you know, to be a Christian, I believe the Holy Spirit will get to the nitty-gritty, you know. The Holy Spirit's going to clean house. He's going to make us be true blue. He's going to make us, you know, be real. And that's where I believe a Jezebel would go into the Pharisee thing. I just want the outward appearance. I don't want to let the Holy Spirit deal with me. I don't want to repent of anything because I've never been wrong, you know. That's kind of their attitude. I've never been wrong. Why would I need to repent? And I'm a victim, you know. Everybody's done this to me. way back to Adam and Eve. You know, Adam played the victim role right away. You know, I want to, you know, you're a bad God and you gave me a bad woman. You know, the
blame.
I'm a victim. I'm a blame game. I'm a victim here. And Jezebels are very much that way. I don't, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault.
So, Steve, for those who are in leadership position that are listening tonight, whether in the fivefold or how would they go about identifying, well, I guess we've identified a lot of the characteristics, but how would they deal with it in church? Because a lot of times they come in, there's a power struggle, the church is torn apart or whatever. How are they best to deal with that Jezebel or even the Ahab spirit for that matter? How do they?
Right. Well, the Jezebels would cause more trouble in a church. And then Ahab's, when there's problems in a church, Ahab seemed to never be wanting to speak up, you know. When the pastor would try to confront things, let's bring this to a head, well, the Ahab person would run the other way, you know. I don't want to cause any trouble. I just want to know, you know. And then a lot of times an Ahab would just leave the church. It's easier for them just to leave. Again, Jezebels are looking for preeminence. They're looking for recognition. And a lot of times, just like Jezebel did, they'll cause all the trouble and then say, who, me? What did I do? You know, they'll sow seeds of discord, tell some lies, and then it's kind of like they get somebody else to do their dirty work. And then, like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. Why are you blaming me? You know, and so they're kind of hard to pin down. But I think as a pastor, as a leader, you have to just, immediately confront things, you know. And in love, you know, we're not allowed to say it. You know, the Bible says we speak the truth in love, and in the Psalms over and over again, it says mercy and truth have met together. You can be truthful, but, you know, you can be merciful, but you want to speak the truth. When we received the Holy Spirit, we didn't just receive the gift of healing and prophecy, we received the Spirit of truth. And so, as a leader, you say, we want the truth here. I love you, but I you're wrong, you know. And I'm not going to let you do this. And I love you, and I'll lay my life down for you, but I want you to know I disagree with you, and I believe you're wrong. That, you know, that, and just take your stand and put a, you know, to draw the line there. Because, again, they want to leave the church, and of course, or if they want to either have control or they're going to leave the church. And, of course, when they leave, they want to tell as many people as they can and, you know, take as many people as they can with them and tell as many lies and so forth. But, again, to me as a leader, if you can be there in very humble but very, you know, respecting yourself, you know, and in humility, correcting those, you know, as it said, that's what I think in Timothy, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition and so forth. But you can't, with Jezebels, and, you know, whether you deal with them in the workplace or whether you deal with them in the church or whether you deal with them in the family, I have to say it, you know, you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't, because you never win with Jezebel. Because they'll always, if you didn't do something, they'll say, well, you should have done something. If you did something, they'll say, well, you shouldn't have done something. Because they can't be wrong, so they always twist it around. So you're not going to win with the Jezebel. You're not going to win. All you can do is say, you're not going to do this to me anymore. And in the church, you know, this is what I feel God is saying, and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get away with that. Because you don't win. Like a tar baby, you just end up with more tar on you to try to deal with it.
That's true.
I would encourage the listeners to get out there and get the book, because you have so many examples. And again, the correct role model is assertiveness versus passive or aggressive. But one of the stories you told in your book that I really love, you said a passive person or Ahab spirit, when they came out with the caller ID, you used to go over there and you felt you had to pick up the phone, but now you go over and look and say, no, I don't have to. And a lot of people that have Ahab or passive spirit, they just feel like they have to do everything for everybody. They have to, like, they would have to answer every call that comes in instead of saying, you know, no, I don't need to take that. I'm not being mean, but we're looking at somebody who wants you to, trying to get you to do something that you really don't feel God called you to do, to say, no, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. I call that caller ID the greatest invention, greater than the computer, greater than the airplane, because I see that caller ID and I'm going to take my beating later. You know, but that's Ahab, that you described Ahab perfectly. I feel like I have to make everybody happy. I feel like I have to drop what I'm doing to make everybody happy. And it's really not showing respect for yourself or even respect for the Lord, because you're saying people are more important than my relationship with the Lord, you know.
Mm.
And so it's very, very, very true that, again, it goes back to that thing as an Ahab. We want respect. We want people to like us. We want acceptance, but we're going about it the wrong way. So
exactly.
I'm so glad you brought that up. But in the book,
yeah,
like
that
I say,
was good, honey.
Yeah, that was great. But I forgot about that. But I did. There are a lot of examples in the book about the marriages and so forth. And, you know, again, there's no gender, I guarantee you, because they do seem to find each other in really, you know. And so
that's
it's
so
very,
true,
very,
Steve. They do. You're right about that. And, you know, I want to direct everyone to your website, too, because this is such a powerful book that every pastor, everyone in ministry, just everyone that has a relationship with our Lord and Savior needs to have. Just, it's great for ministry as well as the marketplace, because, you know, there are people that have been called to the marketplace that need to recognize, you know, the characteristics of the Ahab and the Jezebel spirit. And those honestly say after reading this book, oh my gosh, no wonder this has been happening. And it gives you great and just insight on those characteristics, as well as, you know, who are we in Christ, you know, and the identity theft, you know, is our identity being, you know, ripped off because of, you know, how we're acting. So please head on over to stevesampson.com. And Steve also has another book out there that is a real must, and it's called Confronting Jezebel. And we've been talking about Ahab and Jezebel tonight. And actually, Steve, I have a question out here and from someone on the chat, and I think we answered some of it, but I'm going to just go ahead and read exactly what they wrote here. They wrote, since it seems there is no cure to the Jezebel spirit, do you remove the person with that spirit as soon as you see it in the church? And how long do you actually tolerate it when we discern that it is indeed that spirit?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I refer to Revelation 2, verse 20, you know, when the Lord wrote to that church. He said they did a lot of things, but he said, I have this against, one thing against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. So in our society, the Jezebel spirit is behind the politically correctness, you know. There's a really demonic thing to tolerate everything, be tolerant of everything, don't dare to speak the truth, you know, and that there's a real tolerance that can be in us. I live with somebody who's verbally abusing me, but I'm tolerating it. As a pastor in a church, a lot of times a pastor won't deal with a Jezebel because he's afraid of losing a good tither, you know. So I think to deal with it, to confront it, but do it in love, you know. No, you don't go in and just throw out the first person you feel like's a Jezebel, but you kind of have an attitude of, I'm going to move in love, but I'm not going to let that person get away with it. And if someone is usurping authority or, you know, doing some vicious gossip, I believe it, just go to them in love and confront them. You know, say that, you know, I love you, but we can't tolerate this kind of behavior. It's hard to find a leader who's not, you know, many times, it's, you know, every leader I know doesn't like to confront. I don't like to confront. It's not fun, you know. But the truth is we can, you know, we can be there in love, and we can, you know, we can say, I want to please God. I used to say to, when I was pastoring, I want to get along with you, but I've got to get along with God, you know. And so
that's good.
Yeah. But so I don't want to make you mad, but I don't want to make God mad either. You know, I want to please Him, and so with humility and love and truth, you know. You know, and you know, sometimes I think God is very patient. Even there in Revelation 2:20, he says, "I gave her time to repent." You know, but you know, I said, "Well, you know," people say, "Well, don't you love that controlling person?" Yes, but I also love the people that are being damaged by that controlling person. You know, a lot of times they're just causing a lot of carnage in the church, and they've caused people to turn away from God or to definitely say, you know, "I'm not ever going to go to church again." You know, so. You know, as much as I love the control freak, I love the people that the control freak is damaging even more, you know. Another thing along that question, I would, you know, people confuse subservience with submissiveness. Like, you know, subservient behavior is passive behavior and it's wrong. You know, because we hear the word submissive and people think, well, that means to be subservient, you know, so. Say a woman is married to a man and he wants her to, you know, go to do some sin, you know, to steal something. Well, subservient would do anything he says, but to be submissive would say, well, I'm not going to sin against God just because I'm being submissive. I want to have a submissive attitude. I want to be supportive, agreeable, and willing, but I'm not going to sin, you know, I'm not going to sin against God. So I think that's to not confuse subservience for submission.
That's so true, and I think that you mentioned a real key nugget here in regards to submission, because we are all submitted to Christ, and yet we have found a lot of the males that are Jezebel are very submission. You must submit to what I say because, you know, we're Christians and I'm the head and you must submit to everything I say. And I once heard one pastor say in that case that, well, yes, to a certain degree, but you should always be, both of you, submitted to Christ Jesus as the head, you know, and you hit it really well in regards to submitting in a certain fashion, not being subservient of doing whatever, you know, if it's wrong.
Right. And I think many times in relationships or in marriage, you know, people are afraid to stand up. And I mean, it's just, you know, people say, well, you know, does God hate divorce? Yes, God hates divorce, but he also hates lies, you know. And so many people who are legally married, you know, they have so many issues of passivity or aggression that they don't even talk to each other, and they gave up asserting themselves, they gave up communicating, they gave up being, you know, speaking the truth in love, and they just exist, you know. And, you know, God can't be pleased with people that are just totally living a lie. So the more we want to please God, the more we're, you know, whether it's in a church or a marriage or in a workplace, we're going to, you know, be willing to deal with things and assert ourselves, and, you know, just say life's too short to, you know, become a doormat or a punching bag or abuse. And I don't know what this person that called in was saying this about in the home, but in a home, you know, so many times a woman or a man is so abused that they don't even try, you know, and they just give up, you know. And I think this is where you could insist on counseling, or you can insist on, you know, having some real clear communication, you know, to get the ball rolling, you know, so that it doesn't just end up where you're just stuffing everything inside. And, you know, I've been in restaurants and watch a married couple in a restaurant. They don't even talk to each other. They just totally, and I think people sit in church, they don't even like each other anymore.
I know. Oh, it makes me so sad when Alan and I, if we're at a restaurant, I'm like, oh gosh, look at them. Should we go over there and ask them questions or something? It's just like, I hate to see that they're not even talking, you know?
And they gave up, and somebody was aggressive and somebody was passive, and they just gave up, you know? And you see it in convalescent homes, people that never dealt with things, and they hear their old age, their mind begins to fail, and they're full of venom. They're just full of venom because they never dealt with things. So I think we shouldn't wait till heaven. We shouldn't wait till heaven to deal with stuff. We need to deal with it now. But being passive is the easy way out. It's the easy way out. And, you know, the last chapter of the book, I talk about Ahab and recovery. And, you know, there are just things like that are so, you know, like I hear something I wrote, as a whole and responsible person, I realize that if I feel someone has rejected me or blamed me for something, I should take a look at the issues and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what I did wrong. I can ask myself those questions. What is my responsibility here? Did I do something to wrong this person? If so, I need to put pride aside, apologize, and ask for forgiveness. However, if the Spirit does not show me any wrongdoing on my part, then without making accusations, I need to assertively tell the other person what my feelings are concerning his or her action. Once I have responded assertively, I realize it is up to the other person to choose how to respond to me, and so forth. So, you know, there's real good steps to take and to respect yourself and to, you know, to just turn your back on that lifestyle of giving up and capitulating to failure, you know.
Absolutely. Again, and I want to just share, it's stevesampson.com, Discerning and Defeating the Ahab Spirit, as well as Confronting Jezebel. These are two books that every ministry must have, every person must have. It's just vital, crucial for these times, absolutely. And Steve, we have two more questions that I wanted to ask you here.
Absolutely.
Gentleman says on the internet, he says, are these spirits of Jezebel and Ahab in every church or only in some? And is there any measures the pastor can take to keep these spirits out?
Well, first of all, it's an excellent question. I call it an Ahab spirit or a Jezebel spirit, but it's not just, when you speak of spirit, it's not just demonic. It is a person that is living that lifestyle. As they living that lifestyle, they've opened the door to the demonic. And I think there's many churches that have, some churches are more mature than others. They've gotten healing and they've been through some processes. But I think there's people with those tendencies everywhere. Some churches have classes you can go through to, you know, to deal with those kind of issues, you know, to deal with rejection issues, unworthiness issues, and control issues, and so forth. But I think anywhere there's people, there's problems, you know. There are churches where a Jezebel's rule, or I know so many situations where, you know, there's been like a real controlling church board, and there's some, a lot of times there's men or women who have been in leadership positions that are, you know, that position is illegitimate, and, you know, they're like, I always say the problem with adult, with baby Christians, they come in adult bodies, you know, and you have adults there that because of money or finances, you know, they feel this power. I'm in charge here and I'm in control, and they have no spiritual, you know, no spiritual maturity or discernment. But again, a leader many times hasn't dealt with it because of fear, or because of fear of losing them, or because of fear of trouble. But our best friend is the truth, you know, and I couldn't live that way. I personally couldn't live that way. You know, there's a bunch of illegitimate usurping authority and so forth. You know, you have to.
Yeah, once you get free from that, it's just, you know, you just don't want no part of it.
You can't go under that again. So that was an excellent question.
Actually, two more now again. Can deliverance help?
Yes. Again, I think, of course, nobody's going to come and say, I'm a Jezebel and I want deliverance. I mean, hopefully they would. And I mean, a person, you know, I'm not saying it couldn't happen where a person say, listen, I'm very controlling and I've, you know, I'm very dominating. But I think you know, there's prayer to renounce, you know, those spirit, Jezebel controlling spirits, or there's definitely a control as an Ahab to say, you know, God, give me a backbone and give me a, give me a free me from the fear of man, deliver me from the fear of man, and deliver me from, you know, this self-rejection, and heal the unworthiness and heal the inferiority. And God, deliver me from this tendency to just walk away and, you know, give me strength, you know, give me, you know, that kind of thing. And if there's demonic activity, the devil has to go, you know. It can
That's
be a real
it.
Blindness. And just the Holy Spirit wants to, he wants to set us free. He really wants us free.
Amen. Amen. Now, here's a question for you. This gentleman says, there is no reference for Ahab's spirit nor Jezebel's spirit in the Bible. It is only church doctrine. What do you say to that?
I say that's baloney. They're just, you know, Ahab and Jezebel were just classics of that, operating in that way. And, you know, the scripture confronts, you know, so many types of behavior. The message of the seven churches were, you know, we call them spirits, but if he's not comfortable with that, just call it behavior. You know, it's wrong behavior. You know, you tolerate this woman Jezebel, and you know, Timothy was very passive nature. Paul told him to stir up the gift of God which is in him. Stop being passive and so forth. And,
yeah.
You know, they're just, these things are implied all through Scripture, you know. And that there is a, you know, these are namesakes. Jezebel and Ahab were literally people, but they became kind of came a namesake, the way he gave his authority away and the way she usurped authority and took authority and so forth. And so.
Well, exactly. I mean, there was such a difference between the two. And, I mean, we've referenced Revelation 2:20 a lot, but I want to read the verse again from the New King James, because to me it just really just speaks volumes on this characteristic of Jezebel. It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And, I mean, to me, that was just so blatantly of what this, you know, woman, the characteristics that were bred in her, you know, that drove her. And then you have, again, going back to the Ahab spirit, her husband, that, you know, it was just whatever Jezebel said, you know, and, oh, okay, Jezebel, you know. So I'm with you. I mean, you know, when you've lived it and see it, I think this guy just needs to really pray for revelation, that the Holy Spirit will just reveal to him clarity, and I'm sure that he will. And
well,
perhaps
he might
be a Jezebel.
He might be more comfortable with behavior, but it's certainly behaviors. And, you know, that scripture, too, you think about, I always say it this way, the devil's not trying to get you to sin. We do that on our own. But the devil's trying to get you to be under shame so that you don't have any power or authority. You know, for example, the pornography industry, you know, that you can really relate that, because, you know, the 90% of all sitcoms are written by homosexuals. That's why all sitcoms, there's the father's made to look like an idiot, the mother's made to look like, you know, she's so smart, or they both look like idiots and the kids look smart. If a minister's ever in a sitcom, he looks like a moron, you know. But that agenda of the anti-God, anti-scriptural thing is always there to, you know, to go against God's order, where God wants the man to be a leader and he wants the woman, the two of them, to walk in agreement, and the Holy Spirit to be the center of their lives and the children disciplined and so forth. You'll see none of that in coming out of Hollywood. And then the pornography industry has weakened men, you know, to be who they are. You know, they're under shame, they're under, you know, they're totally defeated, they can't pray, they can't exert authority because they're crippled. That comes from Jezebel, you know. And it's a very serious thing, you know, and to just brush it off and say, well, it's just church doctrine. Well, that is doctrine. It is doctrine. We're not
exactly
supposed to be submitted to Jezebel and politically correctness, and fear of man. That it's all resorted in the fear of man, you know. And in politics, the Jezebel spirits operate, you know, just through so many politicians. They're controlling. They're self-centered. They're, you know, they wield power. Misuse power and abuse power. And we sit out here like Ahabs and think, you know, well, God's in control and Jesus is coming soon, but he wants us to come and take a stand and have a backbone and say, I don't agree with this, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
Whew, gosh, I tell you, this has been so powerful, Steve, tonight, and we could just go on, and we're going to have you on the show again. Again, everyone, just head on over to stevesampson.com, Discerning and Defeating the Ahab Spirit, the Key to Breaking Free, hallelujah, bless God and amen, from Jezebel, and Confronting Jezebel is another book, and you can purchase these through his website. You'll be able to see his itinerary, where he's going to be, how to contact him. Just go to his site. He's one that you want to just keep abreast on. Oh, gosh, Steve, I tell you, we so appreciate you being on the show, and I wanted to ask my husband, hey, honey, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask Steve since we're...
Yeah, plenty, but... I have plenty of questions, but get his book. My suggestion to everybody is the book, and we want to recognize Chosen Books because we thank them that they picked up Steve's book and they published it. And we always want to recognize the publishers because of not everybody out there agrees with our position.
Right, they're great people. They really are. They're wonderful people. In fact, they're. They're asking me to enlarge and amplify the Jezebel book, and which is going to be released next year. But I'm under a deadline for August to have it enlarged. And because Jezebel's, everybody out there has been abused by some kind of Jezebel, whether it's in marriage or in their work or in some relationship. And it really helps us to be free and to be informed and to know how to deal with it.
Amen.
God wants to be.
Man. And please go to Steve's site and drop him an email. Let him know that you appreciate him and the work that he's doing.
Amen. I agree with that. And you know what, Steve? Would you mind praying tonight for those that listeners that have been listening tonight that maybe have been on the fence and never received Christ as their Savior? Would you pray with them tonight?
I sure will. Father God, I just thank you for all these people listening. And Lord, I thank you that you gave your own life for us, and you were so unselfish to die on the cross for our sins, oh God. And Lord, we thank you that you've made a way for us to be delivered from going to hell and being separated from you forever, and you've made a way through the very precious blood of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, if there's anyone listening that doesn't have a relationship with you, that you would let them know this is not being religious, but it's to have a real, true relationship with you. And God, that they could call on you and just repent of their sin and just realize that your arms are outstretched to them. And Lord, I also ask if there's those listening who have been under an Ahab spirit and they've given in to unworthiness and rejection and passivity and just throwing away their value and their rights as a believer, that you would cause them to repent of that and to realize that this is not your will, that you respect them and you want them to be whole and to know their own value and that they're very loved, oh God. And Lord, for anyone who's a control and has this propensity to control and dominate, Lord, I ask you to heal that insecurity and turn your light on, that they would not have to be under that anymore, that you would heal them at the deepest root of rejection or whatever wound they had. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your willingness to set us free. And Lord, I ask for anyone out there listening that you would just manifest your amazing love to them and just let them know how much you care and you're concerned and love each one of them individually. I thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, that's Steve Sampson, stevesampson.com. Head on over to his site, get his resources. Steve, I love your truthfulness. You're so transparent just to share your life. I mean, this is, you know, sometimes the Lord allows us to go through things so that we can truly share how he set us free. And you really have done that in these books. And we appreciate everything that you're doing for the kingdom. Thank you, sir, so much for being on the show tonight.
It's been my pleasure. It's an honor. And God bless you both. Thank you so much.
Oh, and God bless you, too. Well, hey, everyone, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic. We appreciate you. Please check out our website too, Popm, that's POPPM.org. We're in the process of working on getting a training center so that we can have this book, Discerning and Defeating the Ahab Spirit, as one of the major books that's mandatory for our training center to teach people on the Jezebel and Ahab Spirit. So please check out our website. If you feel in your heart that you have somebody that you'd like to share with us to have on the show, let us know. And if you'd like to donate to what we're working on for the kingdom of God, please do that too. We appreciate you so much. And we're going to end the show tonight with He's a Mighty Warrior by Rick Pino. Blessings, everyone. Until next week on Upfront in the Prophetic.
God's word to you of His perspective. It's the war drums of heaven over you.
You're an army dressed for battle. You're an army dressed for battle.
Sons and daughters.